الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with any paper, pencil, pen for taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students to the class, welcome back to our weekly Islamic studies class, or welcome to our Islamic studies class. Today's topic or subject will be on treatment of others. I have various categories of people, how you're supposed to treat them and the like. And so I'm going to just mention those categories. Of course, these are not the only categories of people that we treat in this way. And it's not the limited of a ways in which we treat these individuals. But I'm just going to kind of give you just a summary, if you will, of some of the treatments or the people that we are supposed to treat in a best manner, in the best manner we can as Muslims. And also, for example, women and mothers and fathers and the like in leadership. And also, so I want you all to take these notes and know how a Muslim is supposed to treat individuals. You might see on the news that Muslims treat people this way or that way, that kind of thing. And so either the news is wrong or these Muslims are wrong, or it may be both. And so I'm just going to give you, as my beautiful students, I'm going to give you basically information about how a Muslim is supposed to treat different individuals that we come in contact with. Let's start with leadership. Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing upon him, he said, "He who is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully." And that's not just go for leaders or leadership, just goes for really anyone that we run into as Muslims, that we should treat people with respect and treat them in a merciful way, and not treat them in a harsh way and in a non or unmerciful way. So again, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, "He who is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully." Further, it is mentioned that this one companion, he said, his father said, the Prophet, may peace be upon him, sent Mu'ad and Abu Musa to Yemen, telling them, "Treat the people with ease and do not be hard on them. Give them glad tidings and do not fill them with aversion. And love each other and do not differ." So he's given a lot of instructions here of people when he sent them off. I guess we'll call the missionaries, if you will. Okay, these are the things that you do when you go to these people. And the people, when you go to these people, you treat them with ease. You do not be hard on the people. And you give them glad tidings. And you do not fill them with any kind of aversion. And also, we are amongst ourselves, that we love each other, and we do not differ between each other. In Islam, when you differ with each other, we're supposed to take it to Quran, settle our disputes in Quran or in the Hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, or saying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, or the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. This is what we're supposed to do. Those two things. One is of course, is that when we get into dispute, myself and my brother or my sister get into dispute, and we don't know how to can't resolve it, then we take it to the scholars who know how to resolve it, who know the various ayahs from Quran, or the various verses from Quran, or the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and you use those as the guiding principles for our behavior and how we're going to settle dispute between us, myself and my brother, or my brother and myself, or my sister and myself. It is also mentioned about leadership, and it says, really basically anyone, one who treats badly those under his authority will not enter paradise. Particularly as talking to the leaders. Those who treat badly those under his authority will not enter paradise. Like the leader, the imam, he treats the people under his authority, he treats them badly, will not enter paradise. A husband treats his family badly, those are people under his authority, he will not enter paradise. A woman who is look over the household of the husband and the children and so forth, she treats people within the household badly, then she also will not enter paradise. And we all, as Muslims, want to enter paradise. You go to some of my previous episodes, and you can find out some of the descriptions of paradise. Just basic description of paradise. I'm just giving you some basic information about paradise. But I encourage you to go to the various places of worship, Muslim places of worship, the masjid, masjid, and you go there, the neighborhood one, you can look it up, Google it, or whatever your search engine you use, and you can find out where the local masjid is, and you go there and ask them about what I'm talking about. And you can ask the imam or the leadership there, well, how am I supposed to treat this individual? How are Muslims supposed to treat each other? Explain to me. Or how do I get more information about the treatment of a Muslim be treating them, each other and other people? Because you may be searching for Islam. For example, when I searched for Islam, it was back in the 70s, 76, when I got out of the military. When I searched for Islam, I searched. I asked questions. I read. I did research to the best of my ability. And Allah knew that I was sincere, 100% sincere in my search for true Islam. I ran into a lot of stuff that was not Islam. And it didn't feel right to me. The practice that people were doing did not feel like to me. I said, no, I don't know. This doesn't feel like Islam to me. And people telling me, for example, you only about this one group of people and other group of people you hate. All right. It doesn't feel right to me because I'm not supposed to be any racism in Islam or hating other people in Islam. And so I said, no, this didn't feel right to me. And then certain other things people were doing, I said, I don't know, it doesn't feel right to me. And I took it to Allah, and I said, oh Allah, please guide me. I didn't know who's he's guiding me towards what is right and what is Islamic. I want to worship you in a correct manner. And so when I ask questions, no one asking you because you listen to this broadcast, no one asks you to be Muslim. I'm just telling you what a Muslim is and what a Muslim is not. But you can search for yourself, and if Allah wants you to become Muslim, in your heart you want to become Muslim, you will become Muslim. Let me move on. And also the companion said, I heard the message of Allah, may peace and blessings be upon him, supplicating in my home. It was Aisha, one of his wife, and she said this. He said, oh Allah, treats harshly those who rule over my ummah, meaning my nation, with harshness. and treat gently those who rule over my ummah, meaning my nation, with gentleness. This is the dua. This is the supplication the Prophet made. And his wife heard him and witnessed it in the house, saying, "Oh Allah," he was asking Allah this thing. He said, "Oh Allah, treat harshly those who rule over my ummah, over my nation, with harshness, and treat gently those who rule over my ummah with gentleness." So if you're harsh to the people, be harsh to this individual. And if you're gentle to the people, oh Allah, be gentle to this individual. This is a supplication that he made. He wanted his ummah, or his jama'ah, or his nation, to be a certain way after he's gone. And so he wanted to ensure that Allah, the Prophet is dead. He's gone. But Allah is very much still alive and watching over what we do and what we say. And so he's asking in his dua, in his supplication, you know, Allah, those people, those leaders who are the leaders who are harsh on the people, of course be harsh on them, either in this life or in the next life. And those people who are gentle to the people, oh Allah, be gentle to those people in this life and the next life. And Allah knows best. Allahu A'lam. Also, it was mentioned that one who treats badly those under his authority will not enter paradise. He was asked whether he had not told them that this people, or these people, have more slaves and orphans than any other. He replied, "Yes. So treat them as gently, as generously as you treat your children, and give them food out of what you eat." They then asked what benefit they got out of the world, and he replied, "A horse which you equip to fight on it in God's cause, and a slave who serves sufficiently, and when he prays, he is your brother." So it's a lot of things going on. And so some of these things I will let you go to the mosque and ask the imam to clarify it for you, or the scholars to clarify more for you. But still, it's asking a question about when a person treats a person badly, or people in authority treat people badly, they will not enter paradise. Even animals, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and children, he never raised his hands against animals or against children or women or anything like that. He never did this kind of thing. Only time he raised his hands is during wartime. When someone fought against Muslims, of course, he's going to defend himself. That's what we're going to do. We're going to defend ourselves. Although sometimes the media might twist it and say, "Oh, this group is not, this group is patriot. They're patriotic, and this group are here, they're terrorists." Okay, you all know what I'm talking about, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not even going to get into that with you. But the thing is, that's what happened. So one person patriot is another person freedom fighter is another person a terrorist. And so We know this is a deal all throughout the world. It's how people twist things and who they want to represent and who they want to be, what side they want to take. And so the side that they take are the ones they call the patriots or the freedom fighters. And the sides they're against are the ones they will call the terrorists and the bad people. And so we have a lot of this, and you have people presenting this type of mask, if you will, or put this kind of covering of members of the faith of Islam. Now let's go to children. How are you supposed to teach children? Many of you out here that are listening have children, or you are a child yourself. Islamically, it says, Allah, Abu Huraira, he said that Allah's messenger, may peace and blessed be upon him, kissed Al-Hussein ibn Ali while in Al-Qawra, ibn Hassibi at Tamim, was sitting beside him. In other words, the Prophet Muhammad, he kissed one of his grandsons. He had grandsons too, Hassan and Hussein. And Hassan has to be with him, the son of Ali, which is the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He kissed him. And so this other man was next to him, and this is what he said to the Prophet Muhammad, where his name was Al-Aqara. He said, "I have 10 children, and I have never kissed any one of them. Allah's messenger of peace and blessing upon him, he cast a look at him and said, 'Whoever is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully.'" This is what he said to this man who said, "Look, I got 10 kids." And this was the Prophet's grandson. Because his daughters lived, but his boys died. But it was one of his grandsons, Hassan. And he kissed him, and this man saw him kiss him, and he said, "Hey, Prophet, I got 10 of them. I never kissed any of them." The Prophet gave him a look. And he said, "Whoever is not merciful to others will not be treated mercifully." In a similar hadith of Sayyidina upon Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, about children, it says, "My father took me to the messenger of Allah to ask him to bear witness to a gift that he had given me. He said, 'Do you have any other,'" meaning the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, "'do you have any other children besides him?' He said, 'Yes.' He said, 'Treat them equally.'" So basically, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he was saying to this man. The man came to him with the child and said, "I want you to bear witness that I gave this gift to this child, of mine." So the Prophet Muhammad said, hey, look, "Do you have other children?" And the man said, yes, I have other children." And then the Prophet Muhammad, he said, "Yeah, treat them equally. Don't like show favoritism towards one child over the other child." And maybe some of you, before you came to listen to the episode, maybe this is a habit that you would do. You would show one favoritism over one child and then over another. But Islamically, this is not what we're supposed to do. Those who are Muslim, this is not what you're supposed to do, because the Prophet said what? He said, "Treat them equally." And those who are non-Muslim, I'm advising you to do the same thing. And that, don't treat one child better than the other child, better than the other children. "I love this one over the other one." And so you don't, so this is one of the things I encourage not to do. Because children are going to feel that. They may not say anything, but they're going to feel that. And when they get, and it's not going to feel very good to them. And when they get older, they may even say something about it. Or they may copy your behavior. They may do the same thing to their children. Maybe show love and affection towards one child over all the other children. And so this is not something that we are encouraged to do. And this is just nasiha, or what you call a counseling to you. And to you who are Muslim, and to you who are non-Muslim, don't show favoritism over one child over another, because you may make that other child feel something that they should not be feeling, or which is bad, something that you yourself would not want to feel. Let's go to mothers. Allah, the messenger, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, "Allah enjoins you to treat your mothers kindly." He said this three times. "Allah enjoins you to treat your father kindly. Allah enjoins you to treat the closest and the next kin kindly, or the next kindly." And so we see here, because a man had asked him, who do I treat kindly, with respect? And who do I honor? And the Prophet said three times, "Your mother." He said again, "Who do I honor or treat with respect? Your mother." And he said it again, a second time. Then he said it a third time, "Who do I treat kindly? Who do I honor? Your mother." And then he asked again, and then he finally said, "Your father." But three times mentioned your mother. So, and mentioned your father too. But I want to encourage my students that if you got a thing between yourself and your mother, or yourself and your father, get that thing straightened out now, because one day they won't be around, or you might be around. And one day they may be, Allah may take their soul, or they become sickly or something like that. So you have an opportunity now to make things right while they're alive. Because once they're dead, you nothing you can do about it. You're just going to visit their grave and I guess ask for their forgiveness. At that point, it'd be too late. Oh, mother, forgive me. I treated you wrong. I treated you badly. Okay, then it may be too late at that point. So you treat them good now. You treat them well now. You stroke their head. If you can carry them, take care of them, then you stroke them, take care of them. Once in a while, maybe bring them something to eat for your mother and your father, your parents. I want to take you out to eat. I want to bring food to you. I want to do this good thing. I'll give you a gift. You have an appreciation for your mother and for your father. Because right now you have them, and perhaps in your life, one day you may not have them in your life. They may be in your heart. How are they going to be in your heart? Are they going to settle well in your heart because you treated them well? You kissed them on their forehead, you stroked their head, or whatever, you gave them gifts. Are they going to be not settled in your heart well because you're very harsh towards them? Didn't show mercy towards them, or kindness towards them, or didn't kiss them, or just tell them, Mother, Father, I do love you. And so that kind of thing. So you think about it and pray on it and do what's best for you in the relationship between yourself and your mother and, of course, and your father. And you're supposed to treat them well. Let's go to the category of women. Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, treat women nicely, for a woman is created from a rib. And the most crooked portion of the rib is its upper portion. So if you should try to straighten it, it will break. But if you leave it as it is, it will remain crooked. So treat women nicely. In other words, that's who they are. You don't try to treat them in a different way. That's the way they're formed. They're formed in a certain way. Then you accept the way they're formed. And that's it. And you love them. And you don't stop loving them, and loving the women or treating them wrong. Because a lot of times men are in authority in a lot of places. And because you're in authority, that does not mean that you have to be harsh towards a woman or hard towards a woman. Because men, I want you to understand that you're being harsh towards this woman, then someone may be harsh towards your daughter. So would you like that? No. Or if your mother divorces your father, or your father dies, so another man may come into your life, into her life, and treat her in a harsh way. Will you like that? No. Or your aunt? No. Or your grandma? No. And so we have to be careful about how we treat others. And we'll be able to also to recognize when bad treatment is being done towards the females in our lives. And we're supposed to basically protect them. Men are the protectors and maintainers of the women. And we provide to them from our means. This is what we do. We're not the ones that go out and hurt the women. We are the ones that protect the women. We protect our daughters. We protect our mothers, our aunts, our nieces who are female. That's what we're supposed to do, and treat them in the right way. So let me go to the next thing is fathers. Now, in terms of father category on the fathers, the finest act of goodness is that a person should be treat kindly the loved ones of his father. Those connected to your father, ascendant, descendants, whatever, you are to be treat kindly those people who are connected to your father, the loved ones of your father. And I mentioned earlier about fathers treating fathers kindly, as I said, treating mothers kindly and honoring the mother three times, and then finally say your father treating kindly. And the same thing here is that we're supposed to treat our father with kindness. He's the one to provide for you. He's the one to protect the family. He's the one that is there for you in certain special things that you want to talk to your father about. So don't treat your father in in a harsh way, or those souls who people connect to your Father in a harsh way. I want to go further with this same spirit of what I'm talking about, is that one of the finest acts of kindness is a man to treat his father's friends in a kindly way after he has departed. So even after your father is gone and dead, then you also still treat his friends in a special way and be kind and kindly towards his friends. Those are your father's friends. Those are the ones that your father used to go to. You don't know what kind of advice or counsel he sought from these individuals, or comfort he got from these individuals, just being around them or whatever. So those individuals are the ones that you treat kindly after your father is gone. The friends of your father, you treat them in a certain respectful way and show love towards those individuals. I personally see that a brother who was a very close friend of mine, and he died, and so his children are very respectful to me, and I appreciate that. And may Allah have mercy on his children. His children almost treat me as if I am their father. And maybe I remind them a lot of their father and my behavior and that kind of thing. But the thing is, I'm not their father. I can never be their father. But I did treat their father in a certain way, and he did the same thing towards me. And they seem to be, father's hadith, is that they're treating me in a kindly way after the depart of the father and the demise of the father. Let's go to the neighbors. Let's come out of the family, if you will, and go to the neighbors. Aisha reported that the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, Jibril, may Allah bless him and grant him peace, keep on recommending that I treat neighbors well, until I thought that he would order me to treat them as my heirs. Jibril would come and bring down the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad and would emphasize various things to the Prophet Muhammad and ask him various questions about Islam. And here, a time where Jibril kept on recommending that the Prophet treats his neighbors kindly, so much so that he thought they were going to be his heirs. And the heirs for the Muslims are the ones who are family members, and so they get certain portions of whatever we leave behind. And so he thought, what's he going to tell me next? That they're going to inherit from me? That's how kindly that the Prophet Muhammad was taught and told to treat those who were his neighbors. Also, it was mentioned that it was mentioned about orphans. Orphans in Islam is basically a child that his father dies. For example, I married to my wife, I die, then my children, particularly the younger ones, are considered orphans. And so we're supposed to treat the orphans in a certain way. My wife would be a widow, and my children would be orphans because I died, because that's Islamically, that's how it's structured. That if I die as a husband and the father of the children and the husband of the wife, then of course my children will become orphans and my wife will become a widow. And there's a lot of things said about taking care of the widows and taking care of the orphans. I want to read about the orphans right now and the treatment of the orphans. And the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he said, the best house among the Muslims is the house in which orphans are well treated. The worst house amongst the Muslims is a house in which orphans are ill-treated. I and the guardians of the orphan will be in a garden like this. And so he indicated by putting two fingers together. The two fingers that are closest to your thumb, for example, just put them together. And that's how close the prophet say that the person who is a guardian of the orphan, to take care of the orphans and don't miss the orphans, will be with him in paradise. And lastly, Abu Huraira reported that the prophet, may peace be upon him, he said, when a man has two wives and does not treat them equally, he will come on a day of resurrection with a side hanging down. So my brothers, if you have more than one wife, you don't just treat one well and one not well, because you may come. For example, for those that have two wives, you may come on a day of judgment. And some hadith said that you come on a day of judgment with one side hanging down or one side deformed, because of the way you treated one well, had one living in a mansion, if you will, and one living in a shack or tent or something like that, and very harsh towards her over the other one. And you know, that shouldn't be treating your wives any kind of way, anyway, any bad way, anyway, because as I mentioned before several times, the law sees everything. He sees a black ant sitting on a black rock on a black night. So he certainly sees and knows what you're doing. You have an angel on your right side writing down your good deeds, and an angel on the left side writing down your bad deeds. You want to know more information about the treatment of others? You can always find out more information from Why Islam and those people who work with whyislam.org, or you go to the Islamic Online, the International Online University. That's the International, they changed their name, the International Online University, and also American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Al-Amin, Imam Hassan A-Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.